Britain has sent more than 25,000 troops to Kuwait, along with military vehicles, artillery, and tanks. Many are positioned about 20 miles south of Kuwait's border with Iraq and are poised for a possible assault on Basra, Iraq's chief southern city. The British troops have been training intensively since their arrival 3 weeks ago. Yesterday, about 50 reporters were invited to witness their training. NPR's Mike Schuster was among them.
The wind is brisk and it's blowing dust and sand and rippling sheets across the desert. The desert is pale yellow and barren. Up here, there are thousands of British troops along with all their fighting equipment, and yet the desert dwarfs their presence. The soldiers here may be some of the first into Iraq if an invasion is ordered. Major Joe Carnegie is the brigade spokesman.
Welcome to 7th Armour Brigade, a slightly windswept 7th Armour Brigade. It is good to see you here this afternoon. You are now up at the front line of the British forces in Kuwait. What I will quickly do is give you a very quick briefing about what is going to happen today.
The troops are practicing an assault on enemy trenches dug into the desert, the kind of defensive positions they expect to find when they cross the border. The assault utilizes tanks, fighting vehicles, and dismounted infantry who will have the job of breaking into the trenches, killing their Iraqi defenders, and seizing those positions. Today's training is being done without ammunition. Major Carnegie explains that with civilians present, using live ammunition would be too dangerous.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Challenger 2 main battle tank. If you get in the way of the Challenger 2 main battle tank, you will lose.
Several of the British tanks take positions about 50 yards away, their guns pointing straight at the trenches. The assault on a position like this, combining armor and infantry, is designed to happen with lightning speed, says Lieutenant Colonel David Patterson, commander of the 1,200-strong 1st Fusiliers Battle Group.
The tank arrived on the position, and it would have been there to destroy enemy armor on the position and would have destroyed any enemy fighting vehicles or anything else like that. The idea to sanitize the position to ensure there's no armor left on the position.
Then, one by one, smaller and faster armored vehicles, they're called warriors, plow up to the trenches and stop with a jolt just 10 feet away. Six soldiers emerge from the back of the warrior and break into the trench. One plants the company flag, Zulu Company, the Queen's Royal Lancers. They also plant a flag with a red cross on a white background. It tells all the other troops in the area that this is the furthest forward position of the assault. In this simulated attack, everything beyond that is in enemy hands. The British Army has a long history of fighting in the desert, from colonial wars of the 19th century in Afghanistan and Sudan, to the Arabian Campaign of the First World War, to the Western Desert Campaign in North Africa in the Second World War, and the 1991 Persian Gulf War. But most of these troops have trained only on the prairies of Canada. This is the first time they've seen such harsh desert conditions, spending much of their short time here enveloped in sandstorms. Major Duncan McSporran commands Zulu Company, and he said the other night soldiers couldn't see more than 20 feet in front of them.
It's been quite interesting. I've always sort of read the history books about the war in the Western Desert in the Second World War. When you hear about things such as dust storms and everything just having to stop, I just really, you know, sort of read about that and laughed about it a little bit. And now I've experienced the dust storms for real and understand why everything does stop. It is amazing. And last night's storm was a very good case in point, I think.
Commanders say the weather will not interrupt an assault on Iraq. The tanks and armored vehicles have thermal imaging that gives them live pictures of the battlefield that can cut through dust and sand. All these soldiers are aware of the political argument raging in Britain and around the world about whether war is the best choice to disarm Iraq. Only a few are willing to share their thoughts, though. Sitting at the wheel of a warrior, Fusilier Chris Moulding said he has a lot of sympathy for Prime Minister Tony Blair, who has put his political career in danger with his support for President Bush and a possible war in Iraq.
Personally, I think they should lay off Tony Blair's back, and yeah, I reckon they should back him up a little bit instead of like messing them around. And just let them get on with it, and then it'd be easier for us, and it would run a lot smoother with that.
And Corporal Philip Wheeler, who commands the crew of one of the warrior vehicles, said he has listened to the political debate, but he believes if war comes, an attack on Iraq would be justified.
It hasn't affected me in any way, because with us being in the army, I've got a job to basically do, and I'll do what my job tells us to do. So I'm like happy to go into there to help the people of Iraq. Obviously they've been through some trauma in the last few years, and if this is the only way we can sort the troubles out for them, I'm happy to help the people.
They are not calling this spot a camp, just concentration area Ripper. Nothing feels permanent here. These troops will probably move closer to Iraq very soon. The feeling is that an invasion is just days away. Mike Schuster, NPR News, Kuwait.